Let's chat to our guest.
We have. Hello.
Hello.
Yay.
It's nice to see you again. I don't know how long it's been since I last saw you. It's been a long time.
Yeah, a few years.
But you reached out to me last week and said, I know a guy that can talk. I'll talk to about my Cambridge show, and here you are.
Exactly, yeah.
You're not carrying on anymore. CC Smugglers is finishing at the end of the year.
Yeah, it seems that way. That's my band. Boys, we've been together about 10 years, done all sorts. We're going to call
it a day. Is the primary reason behind this the fact that you got caught up in the whole GoFundMe?
It was Pledge Music.
Pledge Music.
Yeah, Pledge Music was an absolute catastrophe.
So for people who don't know the backstory to that, it's a website much like GoFundMe. Sorry, I've been saying it's GoFundMe. It could probably sue me for a lawsuit now.
Yeah.
Where you can use it as a platform for raising money for projects, can't you? And a lot of musicians have used those platforms before, and you were doing it for an album.
Yeah.
And the company went bust, basically, and with it, all the money that people donated went, and you don't get that back.
So you can't, there's no way of...
Absolutely not. They've sent out a statement this week which said that their company assets, which is everything that they can sell to pay back the people they owe money, it was valued about £22,000.
Oh.
Their company debts are valued at about £7
million. Mm. Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah. And unfortunately, I mean, it's funny how people see things and how things really are. I wouldn't say the Pledge Music fiasco. I mean, we lost nearly £20,000 on that. So that was what you might call the coup de grace. It kind of finished us off. But really, the industry is hard, man. And we've stayed independent. Not always through choice. We've lost two major record deals where they said, yep, we're going to sign this album. And then it fell through. Huge demoralising blow twice. Then that's why we again self-funded this album with our fans. We got a good fan base and raised that money. So it's kind of, what you've got to understand is when you're pushing for this sort of, to be a musician, you're expected to do everything straight away. You can't have any commitments. If a gig comes in, I mean, I didn't go to my brother's wedding because we had a gig. And we all have had to deal with that. We don't have holidays. Our relationships fall apart because that's apparently how you get by in the music industry, by total commitment.
Yep.
So it's draining anyway, but when you're achieving and developing, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
That's the life. And
but when you get knocks, then
exactly,
it's difficult to keep getting up from those.
Exactly. And it's hard to persuade. They're my best friends. I've grown up with those guys, and it's hard to persuade them to keep sacrificing and keep going without when you get knock after knock after knock, even when you're getting great things as well. Sometimes we play to like 20,000 people. We've been all around the world. We've had, on the outside, people keep saying to me, oh, you're just at the peak, you're just about to break. But really, we're struggling, and I can't persuade the boys to do what's needed to drag us out of £20,000 worth of debt.
Mm.
And there's other things as well. I mean, the How High album campaign, we had to, that was 4 or 5 weeks after Pledge collapsed, and that was our last chance to make the money back. We borrowed yet more money off my old man. So it's me and my dad run the band as a limited company, and he put the money up, said, right, the only way we're going to get this money back is if we invest a bit more, buy loads of merch, get on the road, do what you can do best, and let's just keep going and not let it break us.
Mm.
And then we had just the most tragic, traumatic personal loss with one of our band members while on our third date of our tour, and there was just absolutely no way. Emotionally shattered us for about 3 months, and we had to just cancel everything and support our friends. And to be honest, to drag yourself back into that emotional zone where you can not only do everything you used to, but then probably double it up to try and get yourself out of maybe £30,000 worth of debt. None of the lads got it in them, and they're my best friends. I don't want to put pressure on them to do it. So life goes on, things will keep developing. I write all the time, especially when things go bad, so I'm writing plenty, but if it's not with my best mates, then I can't call it CC Smugglers.
No.
Goodness, that's really
it's so frustrating, because, you know, for somebody who's seen you guys play live numerous occasions, and you know, you are an amazing band, and you write great songs, and you do have a very strong fan base, and from the outside I can see the perception that people might think that you're breaking because of all the achievements that you've had. But what, as you know, somebody who's in the sort of in the industry myself, you see that it's not always what it looks like from the outside, and people don't realise the hard work that goes on the inside, the sacrifices that you have to make, the money that you have to put in, and there's only so many times you can be knocked down before you're like, oh, this, you know, life's too short. Mm.
Yeah. And how close you can be, but actually it can go either way at any point, can't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the illusion of success is a dangerous one as well, because people think, well, I've spent the last decade or probably longer, if I just get this, if we just start playing European festivals, if we get that support slot with Bruce Springsteen, that'll be it, and then we'll blow up. And if we get, once we get our album out, if we go, I mean, the day we cancelled the tour, our album went to number one on the blues and jazz charts, and supposedly a number one album is like, oh, if we just get a number one, it means nothing, man. It's all illusion. That as soon as you get there, you're grasping for the next thing, and you're on this. And I imagine even if we got a record deal and we had mansions, you'd still be worrying about keeping up with your mortgage payments and making the record label happy and getting the next single. So that's the industry, man.
Yeah. Is, you know, 10 years ago, whenever you started the band, you kind of feel like you've been broken by the industry?
I wouldn't say I've been broken. I've been battered. We've all been battered. And you just kind of leather up and kind of know. I now can look back on retrospect and know what it's like. And you know, you hear those stories about people, like the old rockers, and they're like, hey, to tell your record label to off or whatever, and just do what you want to do, and artistic integrity, the word, the phrase gets thrown about and stuff. But when you're there and someone's saying, well, if you don't get a hit on Radio 2, no one's going to know you, and so you're like, oh yeah, I better write a single, better write a pop song, and you get all these pressures, and you have something to maintain. You're like, oh no, I can't lose it, all of this. But now it's looking like, you know, in a sense it's all been lost, and if I'm going to carry on, I'm just kind of on my own. There's actually a big relief, once I got used to it, a big relief that there's no one, that there's no pressure. So really, to be an artist, you just got to create art, and whether people like it or not, as long as I enjoy the process of making the art, and I enjoy day to day, and I love what I'm doing, I'm not trying to please a bunch of other people, if no one else listens to it, fine, because I spend my days trying to make myself happy, enjoying being an artist, enjoying spending time with people I love and doing things, and the art I kind of have this hope that that art will actually be way more integrity, and I'll be a way happier person. And if touring and shows comes back to me based on that, then fantastic. But if it doesn't, as long as I concentrate on making myself and all of us make ourselves happy day by day, then what more can you ask for?
Yeah.
But that's I've only been able to be chewed through the system, I think, to be able to see
it takes
that.
A while for you to be able to think that.
Yeah, it's all very, and it's very well coming up with that opinion after you've lost everything. I mean, it's easy. I mean, it's the only option I have.
Yeah.
But I think I feel very comforted by it, actually. I'm quite, in a way, excited, although it's a real shame.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can look at it in different ways. On the one hand, it is sad, but on the other hand, it's a new exciting chapter of, you know, of your career. So
yeah, exactly.
You know, you can look at it in different ways. Okay, we'll come back to you and chat to you in a few minutes. You brought a CD in, which we'll play a track from in a few minutes. I need to do the travel news first, so let's do that first.
Travel on Cambridge 105 Radio.
A14 through the roadworks, no problems reported at the moment, but obviously there are roadworks and speed restrictions there holding you up for 25 minutes between 23 and 31 on the eastbound stretch. East Road in the city, a bit busy around Newmarket Road, also slow on the Fen Causeway between Trumpeton Road and Newnham Road, and Gonville Place is busy too around Hills Road. No other problems to report though. Public transport all looking good. We'll update you again at 20 minutes time.
Cambridge 105 Radio. Do you need help or support caring for someone at home? At Caremark Cambridge, we provide an exceptional home care service across all Cambridge and South Cambridgeshire postcodes. We can help with medication support, all aspects of personal care, general companionship, and many other daily tasks in your own home. Care is delivered through our living care service or single or multiple daily visits. All our care and support workers are professionally trained and have undergone a thorough vetting process. To find out more, call us on Cambridge 778818 or search online for Caremark Cambridge and South Cambridgeshire. Caremark Cambridge, your number one exceptional home care service.
Business life never stands still, but wouldn't it be nice to have expert support for all your employment law needs? From helping to ensure you stay on top of compliance to managing issues or disputes, Woodfine Solicitors Employment Law Team will act as trusted advisors to your business. We can provide help with documentation when an employee starts work and support you to the end of their working journey with your business, however the relationship ends. We're also specialists in business protection and can provide urgent assistance in the event of employee data theft, breach of restrictive covenants, or infringement of intellectual property rights. Whatever issues you face or stage of the business life cycle you find yourself at, you'll be able to count on the dedicated support of experienced employment lawyers who have your business's commercial interests in mind at all times. To find out more, get in touch on Cambridge 411421. You can also listen again to our Cambridge 105 radio interviews or read our monthly Cambridge Independent column on our website at woodfines.co.uk.
Looking for your next challenge? Adept at sales and always looking to connect with local businesses and potential customers? Want to help a community station thrive? At Cambridge 105 Radio, we're looking for someone like you to join our sales team. What you'll be doing? Securing sponsorship deals around our flagship specialist shows and podcasts, or spots like travel and weather. And not forgetting the ads, which help businesses grow across the city and South Cambridgeshire. What we need from you? Well, just a few hours a week, dedication to the task in hand, and of course, a drive to make sales. For more information, email jobs@cambridge105.co.uk or see our website, cambridge105.co.uk.
That is Grumpy from the CC Smugglers, which features on their live album Live at the El Giver Theatre. Where's that?
That is in Chesham.
Okay. It's a couple of years ago, that recording. But that track is also as a studio version on your new album, which we'll talk about in a minute. Richie from CC Smugglers is with us, and he's here because they are playing at the Cambridge Junction this Friday. If you want to go along. J1, Cambridge Junction?
Yes, sir.
Cool. You play there quite a few times. now, haven't you?
Yeah, I reckon this is our third or fourth show there, yeah. Over the years.
Yeah. And as a relatively local band, you know, you play all over the world, as you say, but relatively local date to where you are, you guys are from Bedfordshire. Is it, I know you are playing some dates in Bedford, but is it also a bit of a home feel to that as well?
Yeah, because, you know, we started off as we started the band, we were basically street performing and busking, and where this was my go-to place, Cambridge is the place to busk.
The first time I saw you was when you played the Gwydra Street Party.
Oh, yeah.
Many, many years ago, it must have been 2011, so, you know, over eight years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, you're amazing. Like, literally just performing in the street.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's what we've always, I think that's what we apply to our stage show even now, is that kind of constantly engaging your audience. Because when you're busking, if you don't engage your audience, they walk past very quickly. So you have to kind of keep them there. So we've kind of, I think that really influences our stage show.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's for me, and also, so Cambridge has always been part of our story anyway. And Cambridge Folk Festival was big thing for us. I was going before we started the band, and then we played there. I was like, I persuaded them to let us come in and play, and we played the first year and the second year, and we started building up this kind of thing, and just happened to hit a wave with those guys. And all of a sudden, we were just, every time we played, we'd pack out the tent, and I started this campaign, get us on main stage, and I was sort of doggedly trying to get on main stage. Yeah. And last year, or it might have been 2 years ago now, we finally headlined stage two on the Saturday night. And my God, it was probably one of the most proudest moments of my life. It was and that place was ram-packed, because we'd had like 8 years of everyone trying to support, seeing our journey. So Cambridge for me is as much a hometown as Bedford. Mm. And I think that's why it's really important to me that, because what I'm worried about is a lot of those Cambridge Folk Festival listeners won't get the message before it's over, because we've only announced it a couple of weeks ago. And I just want this tour that we're on now to be an opportunity to say goodbye to everyone and give the proper show.
Yeah, you don't want people to message you on Saturday and say, oh no, I wish I knew you were playing.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, definitely. Well, you know, we cover the Cambridge Folk Festival extensively here, and there will be people listening to this that do go, so hopefully we're reaching some of those people. But you were meant to be at this is part of the tour that you had to postpone, so you were meant to be coming to Cambridge Junction anyway, so there's a lot of people that have been waiting for this for a few months now.
For about a year, I'd say.
So what can people, maybe people that have never been to one of your shows before and listen to that track, and we'll listen to one we'll play in a minute, what can they expect at your show?
I think, and based on what people tell me, I think the main thing that our show's built on is like absolute showmanship. So the whole thing is really, really well put together. It's really engaging. We kind of have a rapport with the audience from the start, but it's kind of based on old American folk music. Like, so that track's particularly bluegrass, like fiddles and banjos, but we also nowadays we play with some real great keys and organ players, a great drummer. So there's also rhythm and blues and funk and soul, and it kind of pulls from all sorts of world folk genres, but it's all about big grooves, really good moving, really bouncing show. It's meant to be fun.
Yeah. If you go to this show in a bad mood, you will come out in a great mood, because that's that sort of style, isn't it? You know, you get everybody involved.
Yeah, that's what we say. It's our responsibility when people get there to make people have a good time. It's not your responsibility. I'll make it happen.
Even the people that go to gigs and stand at the back with their arms crossed, they'll be up and be involved as well.
I tell you a story about that, actually. One time we played this festival called Rock Verkter in Belgium, and there was about 10,000 people there, and it was a few years ago, and we hadn't played to a size audience that big ever before. And we got there at 11:45 a.m. We thought there's going to be no one there, and we were the first band on, and it was packed, and my adrenaline was through the roof. And there was a point where something came over me, and I just thought there was like a really fast song with a slow bit in the middle, and then I knew it was going to go fast again. And I, for some reason, just got taken over, and I said, right, everyone sit down. See everyone in the band looking at me like, what is he doing? And I managed, within about 8 bars to get 10,000 people sat down on the floor, apart from one dude, one guy who always had a sense of humour. He stood right in the middle and he was reading his book. He had his book standing in there.
But, oh, my God.
Yeah, but fair play to him. I think he was having a laugh. But, yeah, and we kicked in the fast part of the thing and this whole... Everyone's jumped up and was moshing. Like, oh, my God. That was another big moment for us.
Wow. Mm. Do you have, like, one standout moment that you'll look back on?
Probably two or three. I tell you, the Cambridge Photo Festival, that was easily my proudest moment.
Yeah.
That Rock Werchter show, there's a clip on YouTube called Lydia of us at that show, and that was the first time we played to a huge audience. And then the third one was basically our creation story, because obviously we were street performers to start with and we really wanted to reach a bigger audience. So we came up with this a concept, what we called gorilla busking, as in gorilla fighters. And we would pop up maybe outside another band's show, and the audience would be queuing up outside. We'd pop up with our instruments, play for a few minutes, hand out flyers or CDs or whatever, say, everyone like us on Facebook. And they would always be artists that were kind of similar to us, so yeah. The audience would share interests. And we did that quite a lot. And we did it with a band called Old Crow Medicine Show, who are an American bluegrass band, basically, top of their game in the States and over here. We went to every single one of their shows on their UK tour, sent them a letter saying, we're going to be busking on every single of your shows. We're following you around in our little van. And what we really want to do is come up on stage with you at the end of the show, which the last one was in London. And we thought, right, we'll do it. And it was February, it was freezing cold, 6 of us in an old postman's van.
Yeah.
And on the last show, they came up and dragged us out and said, come on, boys, you're coming on stage.
Brilliant.
With us.
Wow.
And it was at Shepherd's Bush Empire.
Oh, wow.
And there was a journalist from the Sunday Times there who covered it and did a 2-page spread in the centre of the culture section. Oh, wow. And that was what... and then all of a sudden, people started viewing us on a similar level as Old Crow Medicine Show, which was an absolute joke because we hardly knew how to play our instruments. But we just put ourselves there and we were committed and we developed and built off of that sort of story. So I'd say those are my three top moments of my career so far. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, credit to you for, you know, putting the effort in. You got the rewards out of it in the end because... You know, I guess that was kind of the idea, to go to all the show, make yourself noticed so they really can't ignore you and they you know, have to invite you up at the end. But did you do anything else with them after that?
We've stayed in a lot of contact.
Yeah,
we've stayed in contact. We've never quite managed to get on a support slot. I always wanted to go and play with them officially as a support band, but calendars just kind of, it's very hard to make things match and labels and agents have their own priorities. But yeah. Yeah, they've been absolute mentors to me. Though. Mm. They've really helped and guided us, and along with other. We did it with C6 Steve as well. C6 Steve was the first person we ever did it, and on that first show, it was the first time we'd ever had the idea. And I had it that day, and I was like, "He's playing tonight. Let's go, let's go, let's go." I had to persuade everyone, and we went, and he came out into the crowd, into the queue, and put 20 quid in our case. And it was at that moment I said, see, I told you it's going to work. And from there on, we believed in the process. But Steve has, he's stayed in touch the whole way. We recently supported Roger Waters at Hyde Park with C6 Steve and hung out. We were making a documentary at the time that's on YouTube, and he did a big old interview with us there. We went and played his Radio 2 live lounge, me and the fiddle player from the band were his backing band on Radio 2. That's on YouTube as well. And we'd sing On the Road Again by Willie Nelson, the three of us. So, yeah.
Were you not also on the Radio 2 breakfast show or something, daytime show?
Yeah, that's
is that the same
probably
thing?
It. Yeah, it's probably it.
Right.
Yeah, with...
yes, I did see that. It was you and Sam, right?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That was great. A great one as well. Yeah, he's a sweet guy. He's my mate now.
Do you not, in moments like that, sort of sit there and think to yourself, how am I here? Why am I here? What am I doing here?
Yeah, there's pictures of you in here with Robbie Williams and Kyrus Matthews, and you know, you've met a few people along the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, got some name drops. for what it's worth. Don't pay my rent though, does it?
No.
But you don't strike me as somebody that's shy backwards at coming forwards in terms of, you know, you we want to meet some of these people or network with these people, then you're on it.
Yeah, I'm not scared of.
No,
anything,
well, really. that's exactly the way you should be.
Yeah, I'm lucky enough to just not have a fear switch a lot of times. Not always a lucky thing. I ride a motorbike and it doesn't always serve me well.
Okay.
My fear is pales in comparison to my skill.
So let's talk a bit about the album then, which Liz has got over there. So this is the album that you were doing the Pledge Music campaign to support.
Mm-hmm.
And it's how long has it been out for now?
Ooh, April it came out.
Okay.
You can work that out.
Little while. Well, tell us about it. Where did you record it?
This was recorded in Eve Studios in Manchester, mainly, which are, they're good guys, and we've done a lot with those anyway. What was the other questions? What do you want to know about
tell
it?
Tell us about it. Any stories attached to it?
Oh, well, apart from the
story
of absolute tragedy and bloodshed. Some of these tracks have been on here. We've been playing since the beginning, actually. There's a couple of ones we thought we can't. It took us a long time to gather the resources to make an album. Like I said, it takes a lot of money and a lot of effort. So it was always like, oh, we're not ready, we haven't quite. So by the time we came to do it, I wrote a lot of new tracks for it, but also we wanted to put a couple of the old ones and stuff on there. But this is from, you played the live one, that sounds very bluegrass, but there's a really great pianist on here called Tom Seals, who was in the band for a couple of years and around the time we recorded it. He's a super fly pianist and, yeah, I don't know, really. It's just, it's my best job. Done my best. Well done.
You put it in the CD player and listen to it and think, yeah, I'm proud of that.
Oh, no. I put every song I ever written in the CD player and hate it, but I think that's just...
Probably musicians.
It's the plight of the artist. If I was happy, I probably wouldn't bother keeping... I'm always trying to do better, so...
Yeah.
Yeah,
I get that. But I'm sure you are proud of it, really.
I am proud. I'm proud of achieving it. Yeah, I'm absolutely proud of it. And this is not just me. It's my best friends who've done this, and I love the whole process.
Yeah. Okay. So Friday night in Cambridge, the only place to be is the Cambridge Junction. If you want to go along, junction.co.uk, or call the box office if you want to get tickets. And then you're doing a couple of shows in Bedford just before Christmas, which will be your last shows at Esquire's.
Yeah.
Are you planning on doing anything special for that? Bring back all old past members of the band?
That is exactly what I'm hoping to do. Yeah, I mean, obviously, everyone's musicians in the same old industry I'm complaining about. So whoever they've got, they're going to... If they get a 60-quid gig somewhere, they're probably going to take it over that. But I've invited all of the ex-members. I mean, we've been through about 5 drummers, 3 or 4 different pianists over the years. Members come and go, that's how music works. So I've invited everybody. There's a few big names from our history that I've invited. I mean, who knows whether they'll come, but I've invited... I would like to make it particularly special.
Mm.
So we've got the... We did our... That was a final show. We released that and that sold out. First bunch of tickets sold out in 13 minutes. The rest of them sold out in about 3.5 hours. So I thought, all right, let's book another one. Come on, let's... So we still have a handful of tickets for the day before. So that's the 18th and 19th of December. That'll be our big finale show. But we've also got the rest of the tour dates. I'm on tour at the moment as well. So we're all over the country. So it's worth having a look at ccsmugglers.co.uk and all the shows
in
are there.
Leeds on Thursday?
I believe so. Halloween show.
Yeah.
Everyone's trying to persuade me to dress up.
Oh, yeah, you should do.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you for coming in. It's been great to catch up with you. I hope the show on Friday goes really well and you have a good night. I can't make it on Friday, sadly, but I might see if I can squeeze into the Bedford show, possibly, because it's only down the road from me. The album is out now. It's called How High. Do you want to pass it back and we'll play a track from it?
Yes.
What would you recommend?
Oh, let me have a look. I can't remember what's on there. I tell you what. Why don't you put the title track on, How High?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I like the artwork on there.
Yeah, I do as well.
They're suitcases.
They're all the suitcases we take on the road with us.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
CD's not been out of the case yet. Hold on.
I tell you what, while we're talking as well, if there's anybody who feels for our plight, there is plenty of merchandise. I mean, I've basically got a kitchen full of the merchandise.
And you need to get rid of it.
Oh, man, do I need to get rid of it. I need a space. But it's, I mean, that is basically, when we lost all that money, my poor old dad said, look, the only way we're going to get out of this is if we invest. Yeah. So we got the merch for the tour, and then, of course, the tour got cancelled. So we've got all that merch, and there's all sorts of bits and pieces on there. So, I mean, have a look, or even we accept donations.
Brilliant. Cool. ccsmugglers.com. What's your website?
.com.co.uk.
.co.uk. Cool. Thank you very much, Richie.
Thank you.
This is How High.
Stars are in the sky. How many times around the world can we navigate? Or how did the birds begin to fly? How black is it in space? Can you count the human race? All the mysteries remain for me, it's true. But if you ask me how much I love my baby,
love baby?
I'll answer. Attention much in school, but when they ask me how much I love my baby,
how much do you love your baby?
Anytime, morning, night, or afternoon,
all I do.
Go ahead and ask me how much I love my baby,
how much do you love your baby?
Well, I'm answering,
how high's the moon?
And after all the years that I watched romance walking by, hoping love would come my way. Oh, I don't know by books and such, Lord, I hope that she stays with me, baby. So ask me how much I love my baby.
How much do you love your baby?
Well, answer, I ask me.
How high is the moon?
Things at hand. When you're such a simple man, it's good to sometimes sing a simple tune. Well now, how many volts? I am the lightning bolt. I have many stars I in the sky. How many times around the world can we navigate? I have and then the birds begin to fly. How black is it in space? Can you count the human race? All the mysteries remain for me, it's true. But if you ask me how much I love you,